Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Masked Singer Tour comes to the Permian Basin. The Masked Singer National Tour will make a stop in the Permian Basin this weekend with an 8 p.m. show Saturday at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Audiences can expect to see their favorite characters brought to life, as well as surprise celebrity guests, new performances, and a can't-miss spectacular live show for everyone. The tour has brought one of the top-rated shows on television to the next level, with Grammy-nominated multi-platinum singer Natasha Bedingfield as the host. Season 7 of The Masked Singer premiered earlier this year back in March. The Masked Singer National Tour kicked off this year in St. Louis, Missouri, back in May, and will travel to 50 cities total. Bedingfield will host and perform as well. She was most recently a contestant on Season 6 of the show. In addition, fan-favorite characters from past seasons will also be on the tour, including Queen of Hearts, Taco, Alien, Robot, and Monster, plus Season 7's Thingamabob. The live show will feature one local celebrity at every stop who will perform in a top-secret disguise. The audience will attempt to decipher the clues to guess the identity until the local celebrity is unmasked at the end of the night. Tickets for the show can be purchased online at tinyurl.com/3v6a9t37.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, July 14th, 2022. Community Roundup. City Community Survey Tool. The City of Midland will launch a new public survey tool to better understand local priorities and concerns on a wide range of city services and the local quality of life. The tool will enable the city to more holistically understand local neighborhood issues and enhance their responsiveness to community priorities. The survey asks city residents to rate their experience with different aspects of life in Midland, including affordable housing, education, transportation, and public safety. The survey will launch in late July and gather hundreds of responses from residents. The survey will appear to residents through the use of digital ads in various locations, such as news websites, social media platforms, blogs, and apps. Based on responses, the survey will measure resident satisfaction regarding local services and quality of life in the city, while also identifying key concerns residents want the city to address. In addition, the city will share a link with residents to participate in the survey on MidlandTexas.gov. Fun in the Sun with a Cop. The Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry will host Fun in the Sun with a Cop Friday. The Midland Police and Fire Departments, Midland County Sheriff's Office, and Department of Public Safety troopers will be at the event, handing out more than 500 popsicles. The event will also have a 16-foot water slide and bounce house. Children will be able to check out police cruisers, SWAT cars, and emergency vehicles, according to the Midland Police Department's Facebook. The free event will be from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry, 1401 Orchard Lane. Events. MCT's Summer Mummers, Friday and Saturday, July 22nd and 23rd, and 29th and 30th at the Yucca Theater. MCT's Matilda, Friday through Sunday. Online, mctmidland.org/. Summer Sunday Lawn Concert Series, Tall City Band, Sunday at the Museum of the Southwest. Celebration of the Arts preview party Friday at Schaap Center. Gene Watson Friday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. The Masked Singer National Tour Saturday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Celebration of the Arts Saturday and Sunday at Schaap Center. Franco Escamilla Tour Gabby, July 22nd at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Dwight Yoakam, July 23rd at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Tracy Morgan, July 24th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Killer Queen, July 26th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Show of Supports Shoot for Heroes Clay Shoot, July 29th at Windwalker Farms. Midland Gun and Blade Show, July 30th and 31st at the Horseshoe. Summer Sunday Lawn Concert Series Unsweet Teas, July 31st at the Museum of the Southwest. Movies in the Park, City of Midland. All movies start at dusk. Sing 2, July 22nd at Dennis the Menace Park, 2201 West Indiana. Encanto, July 29th at Hogan Park, 1201 East Wadley. Luca, August 12th at Centennial Park, 200 West Wall. Monthly Meeting. Parkinson's Disease Monthly Meeting, 5:30 p.m. first Tuesday at Mid-Cities Church. For more information, call 432-684-3999. To post an event on the community calendar, send the information to sdoreen@hurstnp.com. Pool information. Doug Russell Aquatic Center, 900 North Midland Drive, and Washington Aquatic Center, 1601 East Indiana. Entry fee is $3 per person, and children ages 2 and under are free. Days and hours this weekend. Saturdays, 12 noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Sundays, 1 to 4 p.m. and 5 to 8 p.m. Passes are sold 30 minutes before the posted opening times at the pool and will be limited to a 3-hour period listed as Session A in the morning or Session B in the afternoon. Online, https://www.midlandtexas.gov/204/midland-swimming-pools. Summer Camps. Summer Science Camps at Permian Basin Petroleum Museum, $80 for Petroleum Museum members and $100 for non-members. Lego Mino Masters, Shaken City, 8 a.m. to noon, July 25th through 28th, ages 8 through 12. Online, https://petroleummuseum.org/summer-activities/. Ologies, Summer Camp at Sibley Nature Center, $40 for members, $45 for non-members. Ages 5 through 8, Tuesday and Wednesday, July 19th and 20th. Ages 9 through 12, Thursday and Friday, July 21st and 22nd. Discovery Camp at Museum of the Southwest, grades 6 through 8, July 19th through 22nd. Vacation Bible School, West Kentucky Baptist Church, Spark Studios, July 18th through 22nd. Local Mary Lambeth, named COA's 2022 Distinguished Artist, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. This year's Celebration of the Arts Distinguished Artist is Midland native Mary Lambeth. Known for her vibrant watercolor paintings of indigenous Texas wildflowers, the award-winning artist will create urban sketches of Midland sites at the festivities running Friday through Sunday. A graduate from Arizona State University, Lambeth also works with mixed media, expanding her creative palette and making her an obvious choice as the 2022 recipient, according to Danny Holeva, Arts Council of Midland's executive director. Lambeth also holds signature membership, meaning her pieces were selected by jurors in premier competitions in the Texas Watercolor Society, American Plains Artists Society, and the Montana Watercolor Society. She also helps teach communities about the Lone Star State's natural resources as a Texas Parks and Wildlife Master Naturalist. Lambeth's works can be viewed three different times at Midland College's Chaparral Center. 7 to 10 p.m. at Friday's premiere party. Tickets are $80 each or $75 each for two or more. They can be purchased at the Chap Center. 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday with free admission. And 12 noon to 5 p.m. Sunday with free admission.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, July 9, 2022. Viewpoints. Midland shows how change can be a good thing. Tall City is making progress in right direction, and there's more to come. Stuart Doreen, staff columnist. College football will never be what we once knew. The times, they are changing. I think about the creation of super conferences and what they will mean to how I watch college football and what they mean to my favorite teams. My Texas A&M Aggies better win and establish themselves as a dominant team in the SEC Southeastern Conference soon, or they might languish in the land of the also-rans. My other favorite team is the South Carolina Gamecocks, and well, I'm not nearly as optimistic there. But when one looks in Midland, things have been and are continuing to change. It doesn't mean it's better or worse, just different. Just like when the Southwest Conference became the Big 12, not everyone was going to be happy with the changes in our city. The unknown has a way of doing that. What is real is that not all change is better, but still there are many examples of the type of progress that is right for Midland right now. That includes the creation of the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, the Bush Convention Center, Centennial Park, two city-run aquatic centers, the Bush Tennis Center, the Scarborough Patient Tower at Midland Memorial Hospital, the FMH Natatorium at Calm Aquatics, the Midland Bike Trail in East Midland, the redevelopment of Green Acres Mini Golf, the expansion of the Scarborough Sports Complex, a new animal services building, two new public library buildings, the creation and expansion of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center PA program at Midland College, a 67-mile pipeline to pump water from Winkler County to the city of Midland, the creation of the Texas Tech Physician Psychiatric Clinic and completion of the Northern Loop. There are others. My memory is only so good these days. Still, there is a Vision 2000 list somewhere with items being checked off as I write. The list didn't even mention the dual stadium facility at the Scarborough Sports Complex, which incredibly turns 20 this year, or the Horseshoe Complex, because politicians have made the horseshoe a controversial term. Let's hope that changes quickly. We know our future will include more change, including a redeveloped Hogan Park and arguably the biggest need of them all, a mental health center for Midland-Odessa. We also know Bush Tennis Center promises an expansion that will bring needed athletic facilities. Texas Department of Transportation promises an expanded and improved I-20 through Midland and Odessa, and tens of millions are being spent on the upgrading of city and county roads. What else can we plan and then make happen? Senior centers? A bike trail from Midland to Odessa? Expanded healthcare facilities? A new jail? A new location for Barbara Culver Juvenile Center? I really can't understand a new Hogan Park with the current Culver location still in operation. How about water delivery into the county? The possibilities are only as good as our imagination and leadership. Interestingly, the city announced this week it will launch a new public survey tool to better understand local priorities and concerns on a wide range of city services and the local quality of life. Keep an eye out for that. My guess is someone will say we need Water Wonderland opened back up between Midland and Odessa. If that truly is our greatest need and represents the type of change we can expect during the next decade or two, maybe we are better off now than I thought. Still, change will happen, just like on Saturdays in the fall. Is football making the right kind of change? I don't know yet. Ask me after October 8. Is Midland? Tough to say, although our community has plenty to show for the last 10 to 15 years.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, July 13, 2022. Obituaries. Jerry Vaughn Millsaps, Fort Davis, Texas. Jerry Vaughn Millsaps, 88, passed away July 9th at his home in Fort Davis, Texas. He was born in La Mesa, Texas, November 13th, 1933, to Ida Harp and Rufus Millsaps. He is preceded in death by his parents, Ida and Rufus Millsaps, sister Rufine Hudson, in-laws Reba and Russell Coffey, brothers-in-law Callie Hudson, Herman Rutherford, and Howard Hare. He is survived by his wife of 67 years, Margie, daughter Leslie Graham and husband Randy, three grandsons, three great-grandchildren, sisters-in-law Jean Rutherford and Lily Hare, with many nieces and nephews. A visitation with viewing will be held on Friday, July 15th at First Baptist Church of Fort Davis. Funeral services for Jerry will follow at 11 a.m. on Friday, July 15th at First Baptist Church. Interment will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, July 16th at the cemetery in Bangs, Texas. In lieu of flowers, memorials in Jerry's memory may be made to the First Baptist Church of Fort Davis. Albert and Ruby Gallus, Odessa. In the first week of July, Albert and Ruby Gallus passed away peacefully. Ruby Gallus passed away on July 3rd at the age of 95, with Albert by her side holding her hand with family surrounding them. Al Gallus passed away on July 5th at the age of 96 with family. Al Gallus was born on July 15th, 1925, to Albert Godfrey Gallus and Edna Sophia Hines Gallus in Miles, Texas. Ruby White Gallus was born on August 3, 1926, to Robert Isaac White and Onis Evangeline Crabb White in Gorman, Texas. Ruby is preceded in death by her parents, Robert and Onis White, four brothers, three sisters, and their children, Millie Stuckey and Daniel Gaius. Ruby was survived by her husband, Al, for 2 days. Al is preceded in death by his wife, Ruby Gallus, parents, Albert and Edna Gallus, brother, sisters, and their children, Millie Stuckey and Daniel Gallus. They are survived by their three grandchildren, their two great-grandchildren, and their four great-great-grandchildren. Visitation will be on Friday, July 15th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Harkley Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at First United Methodist Church on Saturday, July 16th at 10 a.m. Burial will follow at Monahan's Memorial Cemetery. Pamela Jane Pam Champion Price, Odessa. Pam Price, artist, educator, creative visionary, and advocate for so many, died Sunday, May 22nd, at 77, at her home in Odessa. She was born in San Francisco on June 9, 1944. Those left to cherish her memory are her brother Wayne and his wife Carolyn Finley Champion, her brother Steve's wife Deborah Powell Champion, and Aunt Patricia Laughter and Uncle Randall Champion, nieces and nephews. Pam is preceded in death by her husband, Rod Price, parents, John Clyde and Lorraine Webb Champion, and her brother, Steve Champion. A celebration of life and retrospective is on July 19th at 1:30 p.m. in the Nancy Fife Cardozier Gallery, located in the Charles A. Schorber Visual Arts Studio on the UTPB campus. In lieu of flowers, please donate to the Pam Price Endowment Art Scholarship or donate to the Office of Institutional Advancement. Death Notices. Becky Marie Roberts, Odessa. Becky Marie Roberts, 67, of Odessa, died Tuesday, July 5th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Natalie Cherry Pettit, Odessa. Natalie Cherry Pettit, 40, of Odessa, died Friday, July 8th. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. July 15th at First Baptist Church in Odessa. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Columbus Cooper Jr., Odessa. Columbus Cooper Jr., 80, died Sunday, July 3rd in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home. Shannon Tom Miles, Odessa. Shannon Tom Miles, 53, of Odessa, died Sunday, July 10th. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel. Gloria Jean Mama Jean Ramsey, New Caney. Gloria Jean Mama Jean Ramsey, 95, of New Caney, Texas, died Monday, July 4th. Funeral service is scheduled for 9:30 a.m. July 15th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial will follow at 1 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens Cemetery.
Do I have natural immunity? Dear Dr. Roach, my husband and I went to dinner with another couple. 3 days later, the man called to inform us he tested positive for COVID. The next day, my husband developed symptoms, then tested positive as well. Our doctor prescribed Paxlovid. Symptoms were relatively mild and he recovered quickly. We both received two vaccines and two boosters. How did I not contract COVID? I was obviously around the same COVID source. I was even closer than my husband and was in normal closeness to my husband until he tested positive. Do I have natural immunity? Answer. Quote, natural immunity, end quote, means that a person has gotten the disease and is protected from getting that disease again. This happens with many viral diseases. For example, very few people who get measles infection will get measles again, even if exposed. The rare exceptions would include people who develop an immune system disease. Vaccine-based immunity is about 97%. Without a vaccine or a previous history of the disease, 90% of people exposed to measles would come down with the disease if exposed. The other 10% may have innate immunity, meaning that they didn't have to get the vaccine or survive the infection to become immune. Since this is rare and there is no way to tell, it's best to get the vaccine. In the case of COVID-19, there are probably some people with innate immunity, while others may have some protection due to previous infection from a different coronavirus, of which there are many. Unfortunately, it seems that natural immunity from a previous infection is not long-lasting with COVID-19, and a person can get COVID-19 again and again. Until a vaccine is developed that provides long-lasting protection, we are left with periodic vaccination, which dramatically reduces the risk of severe disease. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Family struggles to grow roots amid frequent moves. Dear Abby, my husband and child and I have moved 6 times over an 8-year period. Some of the moves were within months of each other. All of them were for financial or emotional reasons. The last one took us 1.5 hours away from where we had been living for many years. We had formed relationships there, and our child had built friendships. We loved the area and the school. We decided to buy a house after renting, but we struggled to find a place in our price range. Instead, we found one back in the old area we liked. We've been there 3 months now, and we all regret the move. We miss our old friends, our child misses the old school, and we are unhappy in the new house. I think my child and I may have developed depression. Our child's grades have slipped, and they have made no new friends. We are debating returning to the area we love so much. Family and friends are giving us grief about all the moves, and I know they'll do it again. We're at a loss as to why we moved away, and we would like an outside, honest opinion. Is it okay to move back to an area we loved and establish roots in? Signed, Wondering in Indiana. Dear Wondering, you state that finances had a lot to do with your nomadic lifestyle. That's a valid reason for moving. I do not think you should quickly move again. All of the moves you mentioned may be the reason your child is having difficulty establishing friendships, which takes time. The administrators at your child's new school may be able to help if you explain to them what you think is going on. As to your own depression, if you can afford it, I'm suggesting some sessions with a licensed psychologist or social worker for the time being. If after that your family still cannot adjust, return to the community from which you came without making apologies to anyone, and with my blessing. Dear Abby, I've been married to my husband for 21 years. I learned only a few days ago that he has a 9-year-old daughter from an affair he had. I never knew he'd been unfaithful. I'm disgusted about what he did. Now he wants his daughter to move in with us. I don't hate her, but I'm not crazy about children. Also, I'm the only one in the household who is employed. He doesn't even try to find a job, and I'm treated like this, lived-in housekeeper, cleaning up his messes, etc. He refuses to help with housework. If the kid moves in, I'll be cleaning up after 2 people, plus trying to cope with anxiety and depression due to past trauma. I can only take so much. He keeps harassing me about having her stay, and he says that if I don't accept her, I don't accept him. I'm ready to ask him to leave, but what should I really do? Signed, Fed Up in Pennsylvania. Dear Fed Up, after 21 years of carrying the entire load for your freeloader husband, rather than shoulder even more responsibility by taking in this child, what you should really do is consult a lawyer. It's time you started taking care of yourself, because by now it should be apparent that he never will.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.